Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, moving on here on a Monday, 11.05 a.m. in the East. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It is draft week in the National Football League. You know, I was at the owners' meetings, and before that, I was at the Combine, actually, I should say. Remember that? Combine. And remember, Joe, we were doing all the shows from there that week and just kind of running around trying to get with all different reporters. And Chris, Emma, and I, we talked about the Bears for a while, and then we brought him on like a couple weeks later, and I said, Chris, we're going to talk to you again before the draft, I promise. Well, guess what? He joins us now on the Western Hotline. Chris, of course, from our sister station, The Score, 670 and Odyssey in Chicago. Chris, it's Sal and Joe once again here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
What's up, guys? Happy draft week.
Yeah, no doubt. We told you we'd get you back on. We knew we would because the Bears are at a pivotal point. Let's start with the slam dunks of all slam dunks, Chris, I guess. Caleb Williams, number one, right?
Caleb Williams, number one. Yeah, it's been trending that way really for the last several months as it became clear that the Bears via the Panthers, we're going to be having the number one overall pick, and they've been scouting him very closely. They've been, kind of held their cards tight throughout this process, and I admire the way that Ryan Poles has gone about this, really trying to remove biases and assumptions from the process. They did their due diligence in every quarterback. They kept an open mind on all possibilities, but they wanted to be blown away by Caleb Williams, and they were. He's impressed them, obviously, as a prospect, as a person, through their various meetings with him. It became clear throughout this process that he would be the guy, and Thursday night there's no suspense for the first pick.
All right. Do you like it? Do you, let me ask you this first. Do you like it, like, from your standpoint, or do you have a guy, do you think that maybe Jane Daniels could be better, or, hey, trade down a couple spots, get one of the other two guys? Do you think it's the right choice?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I kind of... From my perspective as a reporter with this team, I wanted to go about it the same way. I wanted to really scout his film, get to know Caleb Williams as a prospect, talk to his teammates on the record, off the record, learn a little bit more about him, hear from Caleb himself at the combine, go through all these steps of the process as best I could. And I was just blown away. Everything about him, he's a special quarterback talent. He really is. And everything you hear about him from people close to him, it checks all the boxes. This guy is a leader. He wants to win. I love the fact that he's come up through really being the poster child of NIL. And some people might see that as a bad thing. I love it. It means that he's prepared. He's not going to be shy about any big moment in the spotlight. He understands pressures. He's had it on him for years. And I think he's really cut out to be what the Bears need in a franchise quarterback.
Well, that's big there, especially, is it not? Because, I mean, I'm not there, but I would probably want to assume that he's coming in with the most expectations of any Bears quarterback ever. Although, to be fair, I know Trubisky went second, so it's happened before, but this guy's been touted as not just number one overall, but like one of the best quarterback prospects in maybe even years.
No doubt, no doubt. And look, Mitch came in, as a number two guy, the first quarterback taken in a draft that included Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. That's another issue. But look, he did not have a star mentality, right? He was a great dude, and he's what you want, leading you. But he's somebody who does not really – he does not that kind of alpha male who's stepping right in and believing he's that guy and he's going to be, you know, that cutthroat dominant quarterback. And Caleb Williams is that. Think about it. This kid won a championship as a high school sophomore, and one of the greatest games ever. If you look it up, it's this incredible game he played. And from that point on, he was a five-star recruit, big-time expectations, goes on to Oklahoma, makes that bold move to transfer out to USC, wins the Heisman. He's been billed as the number one pick for a year and a half to this point now. So he's not going to be fazed by anything, you know, media scrutiny and everything that comes with being a quarterback at Chicago and all the expectations that are going to be there. He's ready for it. He's been ready for it. And that's certainly a huge step in this process.
Chris, how much at all, if at all, would the Bears have entertained any sort of, you know, trading for the pick? And even if it was just to the number two or number three spot to ensure they got another quarterback, was this, you know, we just can't do that? Or do you think that they actually would have thought about that or would still even think about that?
My understanding is they didn't really entertain it at all, where last year they were open for business, declared it. Last year when they had the number one overall pick, they knew they were still a year away. That was year two of building this roster for Ryan Poles. This is year three. You got a roster that's ready to win now, and you feel like you're just a quarterback away at this point from being, you know, a true contender. And it's been setting up for this. You don't want to be picking high again and looking for your next quarterback. And they saw a roster around the quarterback position that's ready and that's in a good position, and they believe in Matt Eberflus and his staff is in leading this team forward. And everything was set up for them to go get the quarterback. They get to the front of the line with a quarterback prospect in Caleb Williams, who's considered generational type talent. So I don't think they really even entertain the idea of moving.
What has been the reaction to the Justin Fields trade amongst the fan base?
Man, it was toxic, frankly. People love Justin Fields, and there was this huge division through the early part of the offseason about Justin, and so many people, a large fraction of the fan base, wanted to build around him and for him to be that guy, and talking about all the ways the Bears had done him wrong, which is partially true, but a lot of people just weren't ready and still aren't ready to warm up to Caleb Williams. He's polarizing. He's not somebody who's been the most lovable in a lot of ways, and I think a lot of this fan base still has to get over having Justin Fields traded away and having a new guy coming in like Caleb Williams, but it was the right move. They had to do it. Look, I don't think there was a thought it was Justin versus Caleb in the early part of this offseason. I don't think it was that. Like, I think if you put the quarterbacks in this class, Jaden Daniels and Drake May, like, Justin might be fourth in their priority list. They knew what he was. They understood, yes, they didn't do great by him in terms of building a roster ready to win. He had a rebuilding team, and he had to do a lot of things on his own, and he didn't have the best scheme and coaching around him early in his career. But they also know he's limited. They know his fatal flaws. He struggles to process. He's not been quick enough in the pocket to make those decisions. And it's led sometimes to spectacular runs, but it's also led to a ton of sacks and breakdowns of plays that had a chance at success. So they were ready to make that move. It's why they took on a conditional six-round pick for 25. Like, they weren't going to hold out. They weren't going to drag Justin through the mud of making this pick for Caleb and let him, you know, linger on this roster. They were ready to make that move. And, I think a lot of the fan base is still accepting it, but it's time to move on.
Is it make total sense to you that they would move down from the 9 spot? We've been trying to figure out, like, what's available for trade-up potential early in the draft. I know 9 to 28 is like a huge type of move, but just in general, they've got 4 picks. So moving down from 9, do you even maybe want to call that likely?
I think it's unlikely. I don't see them making a big move. The thing with this draft, if you look at the drop-off in the later rounds, I don't think the Bears have a huge priority to have late-round picks. They might trade one of their future picks to get back in if there's somebody they like, but look, they dealt a 5 to Buffalo for Ryan Bates because they thought that's a better value than what they're going to get. The number of underclassmen declaring in this draft has dropped considerably in the last 5 years because NIL and the incentive to stay around in the college game. And there's a massive drop-off of talent late in this draft. So there's that 4 picks. They had none after the 4th round. I think they're kind of okay with that to some degree. If they do make a trade round down from pick number 9, I think it's going to be in that cluster of 11, 12, 13. That's Vikings, Broncos, Raiders. three teams that need a quarterback might be incentivized to jump the line on the other two and get, I don't know, whoever it might be. Maybe it's J.J. McCarthy falling or Michael Penix, but that's a mile jump for the Bears. You can leverage the other quarterback needy teams against each other and try to get a solid return back and still get somebody you felt comfortable getting with the ninth pick. But really, that's the only option I see for them to make a big move down.
Well, because they don't have a lot of picks, right? They don't have many picks in this draft. So how many picks overall do they have, the Bears? I'm trying to look it up right now.
Four.
Yeah, just but the four. They're 75 and 100 and something.
So considering their roster, they might want to replenish some things. You know, if you want to move down, maybe that would be the path to do it as far as the capital. For the Bills and for their fans here, the big reason we ask is, let's be honest, I mean, the Bears invested in some wide receivers. They investigated in wide receivers through your sourcing reporting, as mine as well. They really went hard after Gabe Davis. They didn't get him, but they did wind up going out and trading for Keenan Allen after that. So how likely would it be that they still are in the mindset of get a wide receiver? If Roma Dunze was on the board, something like that happening, I think, you know, Bills fans are interested in trying to move up as high as they can to get a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think if Dunze is on the board, it's hard to see how he's not the best player available. The same as Malik Nabers, if he were to somehow slip to that point. You never know. I don't think it's likely. I think Dunze might be gone. I think those top three receivers are gone by the ninth pick. And at which point, what do the Bears do? I think Jared Verse is somebody I've seen as a pick for them. I keep an eye on Byron Murphy, a guy who I think a lot of people see falling out of the top 10. There's a lot of intrigue in this guy. I love the way Daniel Jeremiah described this a couple days ago. He goes, look, the NFL, there's a ton of great edge rushers. There's only six or seven great three techniques. There's more of a premium on that position. I would not be surprised if Byron Murphy is the guy for the Bears to pick nine. Or if you do make that trade we just talked about from 9 to call it 11, 12, or 13, you can go get Murphy there. I think that's a guy who might be in play for the Bears.
Chris Emma joining us here on the West Her Hotline. I mean, what would it take? What would it take for the Bears to go from 9 down to 28? I mean, come on. Dream scenario for the Bills. They can go all that. We've seen it. 27-6 for Julio Jones. We saw the Patrick Mahomes trade for the Bills. 27-10. I mean, I wouldn't expect it. But, man, they would have to take an incredible haul to go down that far if they would even entertain anything like that.
Yeah, it would have to take a lot. It would have to take quite a bit. I don't see them in that boat. They took, I think, 10 and 9 the first two drafts. They're sitting at 4 right now. I take the over on that, but I think their avenue to make those moves is through trades of 25 picks. They got a bunch of picks in 25 through multiple different trades, including the pick they got back for Justin Fields. So I see them making 6 or 7 picks and doing it through trading future picks away. Yeah, maybe. I guess you would never say never about a mess. If Buffalo's putting out a huge offer, then it makes sense for Ryan Poles to pull the trigger. But I think they're in the mode of that they love the roster depth. They want to get some stars, and you got a chance to get a proven star prospect with the ninth pick and really take your chance on getting another blue-chip guy. So I think that's kind of the mindset at Alice Hall.
All right. Joe, got anything else?
Expectations this year still pretty high, not just for Williams but for the team, right? Like it's about go time, right? You bring in Keenan Allen at the age he's at, I have to think the team believes they can win even with a rookie quarterback.
No doubt. Yeah, they're looking to break through. This is year three of this process under the watch of Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, and they're ready to contend. They went from 3 wins to 7 last year. They had a lot of turbulence last season, but really, they got a very good defense. It might be a great defense this year. I think it could be a top 10 unit as it was late in the season. And they like the upgrades they made around offense around the quarterback position with DeAndre Swift to the mix. And you mentioned Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett. You got Ryan Bates enters the fold along with some depth on the offensive line. And they feel really good about this group where it doesn't take a quarterback like Caleb Williams to be great. Like, if he's still getting acclimated as a rookie, which you kind of expect to some degree, you still got talent on offense, so that running identity, and with Shane Waldron as the new play caller. So, the expectation should be double-digit wins, and it should be being in the playoffs, if not being right there on the doorstep. But the expanded format, I would put the demands on them. They should be in the playoffs this year.
Quick, do you have time for a quick hockey question, Chris?
Yeah.
Is there you would know better about his situation, because all I know is just health and nothing more specific than that. Is Jonathan Toews going to play hockey again?
That's a great question. Yeah, I've gotten that a couple times from people, it's hard to say. I think so. I think he does want to get back in. I think it's more, you know, the health thing is complicated. He's had some really kind of scary ordeals personally where do you want to come back? He's had not just, you know, the long COVID, but he's had concussion history and some really frightening things. So I think it's a really deep personal decision of do you want to take another run at it and you'll go chase the cup again, or do you want to, you know, take it aside? I don't know. That's an excellent question. I wish I had the answer, but I don't.
All right.
I'm not kidding when I tell you guys, I literally just went to Tankathon and did a sim lottery, and the one time I hit it, and the Sabres got the number one overall pick. Remember in 2018, the Blackhawks were that ball almost went the Blackhawks' way, and they would have had Dahlin, Joe. Remember that one?
Breaking down some slow motion. This is how psycho we are, Chris, where someone was breaking down slow motion lottery ball tape as the Sabres ball beats the Blackhawks' ball, like the last second. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then, I mean, they have the number two chance to get the Blackhawks to win the lottery again, the back-to-back lotteries. That would be, you're going to add Patrick Kane to another superstar forward. I mean, I know that's not Bedard. I know it's not a Bedard type of draft, but boy, that would be pretty incredible if they were able to win the lottery again, Chris.
Yeah, Kyle Davidson, the general manager, spoke a couple days ago after, you know, one of the worst seasons record-wise in franchise history and said, hey, it's time to emerge from this. The rebuilding's over. It's time to get back to contending. So, yeah, Connor Bedard was fantastic as a rookie. That's your runaway Calder winner. And you start building the roster well around him. I think a lot of people in Chicago would love to see if it is Tays making a comeback or if it's Kane trying to make a move back to Chicago, see some of the old guard come back, but also just the old expectations of having this team be relevant. This isn't a hockey town by any means. There's a loyal following, but it's not a large one. And when the Hawks are good, it's so much fun in the city of Chicago. I'm a bandwagon hockey fan, and myself, it's hard to get on board with the rebuild, and it's time for this team to get back to being relevant.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today. Enjoy draft week. Should be fun in Chicago, of course, the number one overall pick. And who knows, though? I mean, Thursday night, if you draft 1-9, you're done, right? And you're done for the rest of the night. It's cool. You hear from everybody. And you're like, okay, you could just enjoy. Not like us here in Buffalo. We'll probably be waiting till 11:30 Eastern time for the 28th overall pick.
Let the anticipation build.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
All right, that is Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago. I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Bills can get up to 9, Joe. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears deal a little bit. The Giants are a team that's thought that they could be dealing out of 6. And how about this nugget from Adam Schefter and ESPN? I don't know if you read this or not. There's an article that, let's see, did he write this specifically? I just want to make sure. It might have been him with In Conjunction. Mm-hmm. The Patriots. It says, could they trade down and then back up? Some around the league believe if the Vikings can get as high as 3, their preference would be Drake May, who was coached in high school by Minnesota's new quarterbacks coach, Josh McCown. But many are waiting to see how the Patriots value May versus J.J. McCarthy and whether New England could make a play like the Cardinals, who made 2 trades in round 1 a year ago. So there you go. If the Patriots opt to trade out of 3, they could then follow a similar path to Arizona to get a quarterback they covet. So Patriots out of 3 and then back up and still get a quarterback? All right.
Man, if at that point, though, just take him, right? You think the guy's good enough to draft in the first round? Like, what are we playing games with going up and down to get? It sounds to more and more, though, like they are not going to pick a quarterback. That it's a combo maybe of they don't like the guys enough, or that their guy will be gone, I guess, if Daniels goes 2. And also maybe a little bit of they're not ready for it, which I think is nonsense whenever a team says that. But they act on it. Like, teams do act on that. So is that New England's plan? We're going to kick the can down the road because we don't want the guy coming into this offense year one?
Do you think that, speaking of the quarterbacks at the top, what are the odds that you think Jaden Daniels, or even Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy, I don't know exactly how you feel about all these guys, Joe, but what are the odds one of these guys is the better prospect and has the better career than Caleb Williams? I guess I'd ask you, if you're the Bears, I know you almost have to take Caleb Williams, but if you're the Commanders, if you're the Patriots, do you think, hey, the guy I'm getting could I'm really confident he might be better than him anyway?
I just in these situations, I just kind of want to go with the consensus on a lot of them. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I would just not play.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Games the least amount of times possible. Just take the guy, and when it comes to, by the way, 2 and 3, I wonder if we've been staring at the draft a little bit too long, because I'm seeing every day another take about how the Drake May should be like off boards. That Rodney Harrison was the one yesterday, I think, that was talking about how the Patriots should not have Drake May on their board because he reminds them of Mitch Trubisky or something along those lines. And just, I think, have we been doing this too long? Like, studying it too much tape, what, you know, too many comparisons, the psychoanalysis of all of these players, because when the college football season ended, Drake May was closer to Caleb Williams than he was to the rest of the pack. And now he's just been beaten down as a prospect so much that I feel like it's just gone way, way too far. I don't know. Those are the type of guys I feel like I want to buy into. That why is the narrative changing so much in a couple of months where there's no football being played? Like, he's the guy for me right now where I just think everyone needs to settle down and stop overthinking things.
Yeah, I asked Max last night, well, which of the quarterbacks, I gave him a list of all these guys, like the six, I said, are going to have the best NFL career. He said J.J. McCarthy. I said,
that's the one he thinks of the best career?
Yeah, he said he says he can be J.J. McCarthy. Now, I think he just likes, you know, he knows the name J.J. McCarthy, watched some college football. He's into card collecting. And I said, buddy, I think it's the opposite. I think J.J. McCarthy may play for 10 years but never be a franchise quarterback.
Well,
he might be just okay.
Josh saved this tape because in 10 years when J.J. McCarthy's a Hall of Famer, we can run it back and Max can have a little bit of a bragging right over his dad here because he called J.J. McCarthy.
That's right. Do you know who I said the exact same thing about not too long ago? That I said, what I said about this guy was, I think he's going to have a long NFL career. He'll never be a true starter.
Long NFL career, he'll never be a true starter. Was it about someone in this draft, or was it like a recent draft?
No. This was about 5 years ago.
Did you say that? That sounds like a thing you would have said about like Baker Mayfield.
I said it about Nathan Peterman.
Oh. Hey.
Joe, I think I was right.
The guy,
he's still playing.
All odds, is still out here signing NFL contracts. At soon to be 30 years old. It is incredible. He turns 30, by the way, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? Nathan Peterman's going to be active in the NFL at 30 years old after what he did in his rookie season. It's incredible. It's incredible.
I think I can take credit for being right about that take. I have it. It's written. It's said.
I
said at that draft. I said, I think Nathan Peterman's going to play a long time in this league, and he's going to make a lot of money as a career backup and never be a true starter.
I mean, that's basically what you, I mean, this will be year 8 So I think you can take the victory lap on that. As long as you never said you thought he was going to be good, but it doesn't sound like you ever said that. So
I don't think so. I never said like good or bad. I thought he'd probably get his chance to start and play some games. I feel that J.J. McCarthy will be better than that, but I don't think we'll ever put J.J. McCarthy on the upper echelon of top-tier quarterbacks in the NFL. That's the way I feel about him. And the biggest reason for me is, Joe, he just reminds me so much of these Alabama-type quarterbacks who they're surrounded by so much talent. They never have to carry a team. They never have to be the best player on the field. They never have to really play in a lot of crisis moments and situations. So maybe it's just because I've never seen them like that. But until I see that, I can't believe that necessarily they're going to be that. And I think everything's been too easy for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Can I call this that Sal has compared J.J. McCarthy to Nathan Peterman here on April 22nd of 2024? I feel like we were flirting with a comparison
there. I don't know about that. A little bit. I think it would be better than Nathan Peterman, but that's the way I feel. I do think Jaden Daniels has the best chance to be the best out of this group. I don't know if he will be. It might be about situation, like where he is, the team that develops him.
Yes.
Like I've always said, if Josh Allen didn't come to Buffalo and he went to the Jets, I don't think he'd be nearly what he is today. A lot of it is situation, right? I think Jaden Daniels is the same. If Jaden Daniels goes to the right place, and I don't know, is that Washington? Are they going to treat it right? I'm not sure. I don't know about the new regime and how they're going to treat and develop. But I do think that if Jaden Daniels goes to the right spot, he's the next guy we're talking about as he's the guy in this class that becomes that superstar.
I go back and forth on him because he has a lot of the skill set of what I like of quarterbacks coming into the league these days. He's got the arm, right? Like, it's not like crazy, you know, giant Allen-level arm strength, but it's there. It's good. And the speed is off the charts. The only thing that is scaring me with him is whenever I hear breakdowns of his game and how the biggest flaw in his game is how quickly he drops his eyes, that he's not someone that likes to hang in the pocket. There's an insane stat out there on that he only hangs in a pocket on like 30% of his dropbacks. Like he is scrambling 70% of the time at LSU. And I think you mentioned the situation. For him especially, more than these other guys, I think that's going to be massive because he might really need a good offensive coach to come in, and maybe a good line also will be important here to kind of just show him like, hey man, you don't have to bail here. Like, look, step up in here or just slide to the right here. You don't have to just, boom, bail on the pocket and go run and that be every single play for you. Because that kind of reminds me of Justin Fields a little bit. Fields has never had a good feel for when to run out of pockets. He always takes sacks. He scrambles too easily. But to be fair, Fields never had the good situation, right? He never had the good line. He never had the good coaching staff. Daniels, we'll see. Like, Washington could be that. I think New England is less likely to be that. For his sake, you know what I'd like if I were him? I'd like him to actually drop a few spots and go hook up with Brian Daboll in New York. Like, that's the coach I would want for Jaden Daniels.
Okay. You know what? I think any coach with Brian Daboll should be benefited, but I don't know how much time Brian Daboll has to do that. You know,
that's true.
That's the issue.
That's true. Right. I mean, you don't want to go to a team where you have a different head coach in year two.
Right. And then, of course, I mean, you see what happens there. Baker did for so long, and, you know, we see a little resurrection there, but look at these guys, Sam Darnold, and how much, you know, turnover he had with offensive coordinators. Even Lamar, but he was able to sustain that with offensive coordinators at least. You know, he's been a 2-time MVP now, but it's just not a great situation. Josh's been very fortunate. Josh did not have that the first, you know, 5 years of his career. And then, of course, recently he did after Brian Daboll left and then Ken Dorsey and Joe Brady. But that's a big part of it. So I think Jaden Daniels has a really good shot to be really great. But I do think it's going to depend on the situation and circumstance where he is. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I have a big podcast tonight with Matt Bove. We're going to talk with NFL Vice President of Broadcasting Mike North. It's one of my favorite conversations every year. Joe, let's take a look at the Bills schedule, kick it around a little bit. Maybe we can come up with a couple of good questions for Mike North tonight on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
The quarterback that goes at number two. Which quarterback is it? Is it Jaden Daniels, who I think it will be, and should be, or is it Drake May? Drake May certainly has all the talent in the world, but the struggles late in the year are the reason Jaden Daniels, for me, gets the nod at pick number two. That's the burning question right now. But Washington, guys, is doing a great job, I think, delaying it, letting everybody think that they still don't know. Guess what? They do know who they're picking it to, but they're keeping that drama going, that intrigue, and the guessing game going, which is what we all want. We know one, we don't want to know two until that name is called.
Mel Kiper there. I'm also all for the drama. Joe, I do not like, and I'm in the Bills media room, and people are watching the draft, and people are following along on X, and even if we get an inkling in the media room of, like, what's happening with the next pick, I do not want to tweet it out. I don't want to be that person who says, dude, don't do that. I'm watching the TV. I don't want to do that to anybody. And then you get caught in the, well, how did you not know who they're going to pick? I don't know. It's a weird spot to be in. But I like the intrigue myself. I don't like to look. Unfortunately, because of the environment I'm in, we find out, you know, before it gets announced on TV a lot of times who the next pick is, whatever team it is.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put it out there to everybody.
I appreciate you doing that, because there's nothing that drives me crazier about the draft than, right, hey, let's just read it from social media. I yelled at our buddy Nate last year. He was hosting coverage, and I was driving home, actually, when the Bills were making their selection, and I was waiting for, like, Goodell's announcement, and then I just heard something, was it Nate or someone on our show go, they're reporting the pick is Dalton Kincaid. And I was, like, mad! Like, not even mad because of the pick, like, no, don't spoil it! Like, I want to hear Goodell announce it. Like, that's the show of it, right? Like, and they've warned Schefter about this, they've warned Rappaport about this. They do it in the NBA draft, too, where Wojnarowski always, like, has fun with it,
yep,
where he's not supposed to report it. Just for one day, don't have to be first. You don't have to be first. Just let the show play out. Let people enjoy it. Like, I think you are ruining it for so many people if, you know, you're watching the ESPN broadcast, and instead of getting the announcement, it's someone on the panel going, I'm hearing it's going to be Jaden Daniels. Just there's no more drama in it if you do that.
I could tell you. Do you know, Joe, to be honest with you, like, the picks are pretty much, like, determined and put on a board for some media to see.
Okay.
Like, three picks ahead of time.
That
it's
far
wild.
In advance?
I know it sounds weird. It is. It's two, maybe three picks ahead of time. I know this because 1 year. Years and years ago, before it was even, it was the John Murphy show. We were in there, John Murphy show, years ago. And we were doing it at nighttime, and I was in the studio. And they had, it was basically to prep. Anybody who's doing, the team media is kind of plugged in for the prep, if that makes sense, right? So they know who to talk about. And I'm guessing they still do this the same way. But they said, look, like, there's a link to the back room of the draft where these picks are being made, and they let you know. That way the people who are doing shows like yourself can kind of prepare for it,
yeah,
if that makes sense, right? So I knew, like, two picks beforehand what was happening. I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy. And that's when I realized why and how these guys are always able to do this and to say, because somehow they're plugged into that. They get that. And it's not supposed to be consumed by them. It's not for them. But they get it, and they get access to it somehow. It's really just supposed to be so people who can do their jobs prepare to talk about the player when it happens right away, right? Like, even on ESPN, maybe they have some way to do that. But that's pretty much why. And it always got to me, like, you know what? That's not right then. Like, it's not really for the people like me just reporting it. It's really just so people can have prep so that they can have the B-roll available and to do all the stuff they have to talk about the prospect for that specific team.
Sure, exactly. Like, I mean, we should make for our draft party coming up Thursday at Resurgence. Jeremy and I will be there 7:30 to 11:30. You can still buy tickets, by the way. Their website, Resurgence, our social media, you can find it. We should definitely make a rule, or maybe even... So, have you ever been to, like, a comedy show where they make you put phones in the lockers?
Yes.
You ever seen that?
Well, I've heard of them. I've never gone to one, but yes.
Concerts have that, too. Same. I don't think I've been to one, but I've heard of them. We need something along those lines for Thursday. Or just we need a handshake agreement of everybody at our party on Thursday that when we're all standing around waiting for the announcement of who they pick, not to have one guy in the back of the room just yell, they picked Johnny Newton.
Yep.
You're out if you do that. We're going to kick you out. Maybe not really. But let the show play out the way it's supposed to.
It should be like a communal event for fans, right? When it gets announced.
Yeah.
It should be a real time, same time, everybody reacts, right? And like they announce it and all the fans go, yay, or oh,
exactly.
Or whatever it is.
You want everyone reacting in real time like it's a goal, right? Like in a playoff hockey game. That's what you want. You want the NFL. The NFL, I guess, has probably made steps, right, to try to persuade, you know, let the reaction be natural, because they use stuff for that on like social media. Like, here's the reaction to so and so drafting this guy, and you want that reaction to be at the moment. You want it to be, you know, obviously natural.
100%. I mean, the NFL has asked like people to hold off and like, hey. And the people who are more like affiliated with the league, a lot of times they will, but a lot of guys won't. They're like, no, sorry, not. It's my job to report. And if I hear it, I'm going to report it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. So you'll have my word. I mean, I'll just wait. And once you hear it on TV, then you'll see it. You basically go, you know, on my Twitter page. By the way, the Bills are scheduled to pick 28. Last year, that pick, 11:30 p.m.
Okay.
11:30 p.m. was the 28th pick of the draft last year. That was the Bengals, I believe,
who
had that. So if the Bills stay at 28, you're waiting a long time.
I looked at the two previous years, actually, before last year. And the two previous years, I believe, it was like, what, 11:31 was last year? Is that what you just said?
I think so, yeah.
The year before that, I think, was 11:08. But the year before that, the 28th pick was like 11:43. So you get fluctuation, but yeah, the middle of the 11 o'clock hour is probably most likely.
I think that's right. Yeah, for sure. Hey, by the way, Marshawn Lynch's birthday today. Do you see this? You want to feel old? Now, look, I used to joke when I was younger and say, I know I'm getting old when guys had really great careers and they retired. Well, how about this? Marshawn Lynch is 38 years old today, Joe.
Should I feel like he should have been older? Maybe not. He was in the league, actually.
I feel like he should be younger.
He should be younger?
He should be younger. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like he's 38. I don't know.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't. He was on that Amazon broadcast last year doing certain stuff. He doesn't act like he's 38. He's still like a little kid, it feels like, at heart sometimes.
Oh, my God.
He played in 2019. Like, he hasn't even been retired that long. Is he going to be Hall of Fame eligible coming up in the next year or two?
Oh, well, when did he last play? 19? So
19.
This will be this year then, I guess.
Okay. This upcoming year or the after the season?
You have to wait 5 years. You have to wait 5 years.
5 years.
So
he's got one more season.
His last game was in 2019, then he'd be eligible in 2024 this year.
Okay. Man, he played, do I have this right? In 2019, he went back to Seattle. He played one regular season game and one playoff game. So he basically he had to push off his Hall of Fame candidacy for a year for 60 yards. All right. Maybe you thought he would do better.
Who is that? Let's see. Actually, I'm seeing here, it looks like he might not be until next year, 2025, because maybe, just depending on how, like, what happened with his career there, but he is going to be eligible very soon. All right, we did not talk about the schedule. Let's just do that really quickly when we come back, because tonight, Mike North, VP of Broadcasting, is going to join Matt Bove and me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. We'll come back, we'll talk about that very briefly, and we'll get you up to the top.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Top of the hour with Sabres Live coming up next here on WGR. All right, Joe, tonight, one of my favorite conversations of the year. I've been talking with him for several years, and last year we made it a part of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Once again, that's the case this year. Mike North, VP of Broadcasting for the league, one of the head schedule makers for the NFL. I'm a schedule nerd. Matt Bove is a schedule nerd. I know Mike is. I know you get into the schedule. Anything you want us to ask Mike, he's not going to reveal the schedule on the podcast tonight. It's more about how things work, where teams are seen, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, I mean, something along the lines of like how the year-to-year shift is with streamers and how Peacock, exclusive games, Amazon exclusive games, like what quality of game they get. Because I think year one, it wasn't, at least it seemed this way on paper, that those stream-only games weren't the highest of quality. And then last year, maybe that went up, and maybe it would again. So I think that would be something I'm interested in.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because he's not just the schedule guy, like making the schedule.
It's broadcast.
The TV partners that go along with it.
It's
broadcasting. And we've talked about the new streaming platforms and getting wild card games and getting the Thursday night package and all of that. How about the international games? And then this Thursday night, Friday night deal, you know, in week one, you guys were talking about playing in Brazil. There's an old, old law that says the NFL can't play on Friday nights because of high schools. However, by having an international game, they can get around that, right? I mean, like, what's the plan for that going forward? And then, you know what, when I was thinking about, Joe, the Saturday games they have. There's always this block of Saturday games, this block of games at the end for like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like five of them are moving to Saturday, or three of the five are moving to Saturday. Like, how do you determine that? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, because this year and the last couple of years, I feel like it's more of a 5 day a week league, you know, I mean, just because there's a game now on Friday a couple times over the course of the year, and you got Christmas on Wednesday, which will be important. Like, just kind of the league seems to be shifting away from, it was originally what, 2 days a week, and then it was three, and I feel like it's more and more getting to like four or five.
All right, so tonight, Matt Bove and I are going to record our podcast with Mike North, and it'll be available on the Sal Sports YouTube page like immediately after tonight. So make sure you're subscribed to that, Sal Sports on YouTube. You'll get that immediately, and then tomorrow, for all of you who just listen on audio, who don't watch the video, you're going to get it right wherever you pod on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Make sure you're subscribing. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. They'll have much more for you on any news regarding the head coaching search. Joe and I will be back tomorrow right here on The Extra Point Show. One Bills Live, of course, today at noon, and then, or not noon, why did I say that? At 1 o'clock, and then Show with the Bulldog at 3 here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.